Ja, dat kan ik toch nog een tikje doen. Maar met de manager moet het. Kan we shift this? Nee, dan moet je shift it aan space. Ja, aan space, ja, aan space. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Please, can we come closer? If you are in the meeting, please come closer so that we can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to you in repentance with hearts that are bowed, with knees that are bent in submission to you. We bring our crowns. We bring the gifts you've given to us in ministry. We bring the ministries you've given to us. We bring all that is in our hands and is upon our hearts. I will come to submit to you. We say you are the Lord. Let your name be glorified. That in our generation, that your plan will be manifested to its fullness. We look to you for a recovery of that which has been lost. That the eyes of our hearts may be opened. That we might see your wisdom and your plan for us. We ask that you might anoint us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge. We pray that the veil over our hearts will be broken. We ask that you might show us a new vision of Christ. Even like John saw on that island. Let the vision of Christ, let it absorb our own visions. Show us the heavenly vision. In the name of Jesus. Open our ears to hear from you. Open our hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a big honor to be here. Some of you may not have been here the first day when I spoke. My name is Chijoke, and I'm from Port Harcourt in Nigeria. I work in the hospital, and also teach in the university. Amen.
Amen.
And I like to study the Bible. Amen. I want us to just share together this morning. I'm one of those who believe in speaking the truth. I cannot do otherwise. So I don't belong to the group that that do not speak the truth. So when I see the truth, I'm going to say it. So I'm trying to appeal to you to receive me as your brother. Amen. Your brother that has a problem, so I want you to pray for me. I have I am in a very tight condition, difficult, and I'm in the condition where I have to speak the truth. So if I don't tell you the truth, then I'm in trouble. So I want you to help me by receiving the truth. Amen. And then pray for me that I will be a partaker of the truth also. Because we're not coming to you as people who are perfect, who know everything and we're not coming as their masters or whatever it is. In fact, I'm coming as one who is learning. I would like to learn from you, learn from experience. And in the course of that, I would also like to pass across some things. Amen. Share with you my own experiences. So I'd like to go back. To the mind of God. And I'll be looking at some foundational aspects of. We're looking at the foundations. Because scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the Christian do? What can they do? And many of us have a wrong foundation. I say that because I had the wrong foundation. Amen. I was saved in the Scripture Union. In 1970, when I was still in high school, and I moved on from there to a Pentecostal group, which I think I've seen their signboards in Kenya and other parts of East Africa. And then God moved me beyond that. And in 1984, I started my own ministry while I was still in medical school. And God said, close it down after 3 months. So I'm not speaking to you as someone who didn't have opportunity. So opportunity has always been there. And I have friends who are still in those kind of things. And there are bishops, archbishops, and all kinds of things. You know, but I want to take you out of that setting. Because I'm very familiar with the Pentecostal setting. Because I was a church worker and Bible study, I did all those things. Very fundamental. I was the national president of the student group. Why still in the university? Okay, so I'm familiar with that also. So I'm familiar with lots of things in the church. And but we want to go out of that setting to something else. To look at the foundations. You know, so the question is, what is this Christian religion or race or whatever you call it, what is it about? What is it all about? Where are we going? Where are we coming from and where are we going? As I mentioned previously, many of us are familiar with, in East Africa, with the British setting. With the Western flavor of Christianity that has been given to us. Because in West Africa and East Africa, we share common things with the British people. Now, the scripture I want to read first is Isaiah 16. Isaiah 16. Okay. Isaiah 61:2 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Particularly verse 2 shows us two pictures. Okay, if you are someone that thinks, you'll be wondering what's the kind of situation, what's happening here? Because two things are happening. He says, darkness will cover the people, and gross darkness the people. But also, he says, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory will be seen. So there are two things. One is darkness, and he talks about gross darkness. He talks about light, and he talks about the glory of the Lord. So we're looking at two things: light and darkness. And he says two of them will be happening at the same time. So behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness. Then he talks about light also, and then that light will increase to show for the glory. And if you look down at the scriptures, there are two important things: light and darkness. Now, if you don't get anything out of this conference, I want you to understand those two things: light and darkness. If you don't understand anything, you can even say that is the theme of the conference: light and darkness. Now, this is something the devil doesn't want you to know. You can do all that you're doing, your conference, program, church activities, on the school, all those things. This doesn't bother the devil. Because the devil has built Bible schools. He has started ministries. The Bible says that his ministers have become the angels of light. So I want you to understand, the devil is not fazed by whatever we are doing here. Because he conducts such programs. Amen. So it's not your activity. It's not that you have a church, or you say you're a preacher, or you are born again. All those things, the devil has many of it. The biggest cult in the world, the Roman Catholic cult, is sponsored by the devil. It has the biggest following all over the world. The devil sponsored it. So the devil is in church business. So if we are going to be relevant to God, if you will be relevant to God, then you must go back to the beginning to examine what am I doing. Who am I? What? Where am I going to? Where did I come from? The people I'm leading, where am I leading them to? So, what is your goal? You want to make heaven. You're already in heaven and you want to make heaven. Let me say, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Already. You are sitting, as you are here now, you are in heavenly places. A man in heaven wants to make heaven. So you have to cancel that ambition. It's not ambition because they've already achieved that ambition. You want something that is worth the salt. And that's why I'm taking you to the origin. Darkness and light. Now, everything you do and everything you are in those two groups. God is light. And in God, there is no darkness at all. Do you understand that? Do you understand that?
Yes.
I don't think you understood it. I'll take it again. Scripture says that God is light. And in God, there is no darkness at all. If there is darkness, it's not God. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. If God is in it, then there won't be any darkness. If there is darkness, it's not God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you start your church, God will put it on that platform. What was your motive? Is it darkness or light? If there is just one drop of darkness in it, it's no good. Why do you think it's taking God 2,000 years Why do you think it's taking God 6,000 years from Adam to where we are now? Because he's looking for quality. God is looking for quality. Amen. Herod built the temple in 46 years. Isn't that what your Bible says? He built that temple in 46 years. Because we are going for quality. Nothing was going to be compromised. If the wall was not straight, you pull it down. I and start afresh. If man does that, what do you think God does? God is not interested in your church. What you call your ministry, it's God has nothing to do with it. Your ministry is your ministry. He is interested in light or darkness. I don't know if you got that. God is not interested in your church or your ministry. He is interested in light or darkness. And he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So God is building a quality work, and it's taking him time. Yes, the Roman Catholic Church is doing very well.
Yeah.
I said the Roman Catholic Church or cult is doing very well. They even have some people called Catholic Charismatics. But God is not the same. It's either you are light or you are darkness. He says, it's either you are hot or you are cold. Oh, some people say, okay, we will stay in the middle. We'll have some darkness and have some light. God says, I don't understand that. I will spit you out of my mouth. There is no middle zone called light and darkness. Because with God, light and darkness is the same thing as darkness. Amen. So the scripture says that darkness will cover the earth. And this darkness is going to grow and come up to what he calls gross darkness. There was a man that used the term the blackness of darkness. I think that was either Jude or Peter talked about the blackness of darkness. Amen. And in Egypt they had darkness for 3 days. And it was at that point that God brought his people out of. So God is going to let darkness increase. You have to understand that it is a God appointed program for darkness to increase on the earth. So some people have been teaching that before the darkness comes, some people will be flying away and flying everywhere. They talk about the rapture. I'm sure Brother Mark will find a time to teach us on that. It's not in your Bible. The word rapture doesn't occur in your Bible. And the Bible doesn't teach rapture. What the Bible says is that darkness will increase to the fullness, and light will also increase to its fullness, and that the light will overcome the darkness, and everything will be happening on this our plane, on this our level. So the church is not ready because of fairy tales and stories. Because of stories and fairy tales, the church is not ready. In 2007, you were not ready in Kenya. And yesterday you heard it. You heard about the bombs that are going to go off. So I cannot afford to come and tell you stories. So why we're here is to prepare you. Because darkness is coming. Not just darkness, gross darkness is coming to you in Kenya. The only way to overcome it is to come into light and come to the fullness of light. He said the light shines in darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Now let me give you the scripture. I'll go back and give you the scripture. I'm still trying to do an introduction. We have not even started. Now if you go to the book of Esther, we see this story as a history. Okay? The king made a rule. You should kill all the Jews. Amen. He made the rule. What you are telling you is a real story. It happened. Just like 2007 happened here. Just as it's happening to us in Nigeria. There was a rule: destroy all the Jews. God intervened, and the queen was able to get the favor of the king. What did the king do? What was the deliverance of God's people in Persia? God carried them and started transporting them around all the air in the sky. Is that how God saved them? Show me your Bible where God carried anybody and they started flying them around in an aeroplane. Eating rice for 7 years, doing marriage feast. Hallelujah. What did they do? The king made another rule. He says, every Jew, fight for yourself. He says, you are free to fight for yourself. So, there was a rule to destroy them. But God made another rule of life for them. You are free to fight for yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that was the door of deliverance for God's people. Bible says that there is no temptation that will come to you which is bigger than you. That 1 Corinthians 10:13, is it not so? Say there is no temptation that will come to you which you cannot overcome. The fact that the temptation has come to you means you can overcome. Because God will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able to, you know, to handle. But with the temptation, God will make a way of escape. So darkness is coming on the world. And gross darkness is coming. But God has made a way of escape. The good news is that there is a way of escape. The good news also is that darkness is coming. Because God is going to use the darkness to sharpen and perfect His people. Darkness is an instrument of God's ministry. The Bible said that He will choose His people or perfect His people in the womb of affliction. He said that when I am tried, I will comfort us gold. Is it not so? That is why we say gold shows the nature of God, speaks of the nature of God. Because gold, the more you heat it, the purer it becomes. And the Bible says that our faith is like precious gold, isn't it also? So if your faith is precious gold, how will God purify you? You need tribulation. Paul said, I glory in tribulation, isn't it also? Paul said, I glory in my tribulations. So it is in the nature of God to pass his people through tribulation. It is the nature of light. Don't let anybody tell you story that God is going to, before the trouble comes, you'll fly away and forget it. If you know God, you will know that is not the way of God. Every Bible character that you know, God chose them out of affliction. Mention one that had a rosy life all through. Mention one. Hallelujah. So we're talking about light and darkness. Now these are the two major spirits that are functioning on the earth. We're looking at the foundations. That you are looking at light and darkness. And if you go to the second chapter of Genesis, chapter 1. Sorry, the second verse of Genesis 1. We see that picture. That's the first picture we're showing. That darkness was upon the face of the deep. Even before God raised his hand, the first thing, the first picture of the earth is that the earth is in darkness. If you don't remember anything, it's a picture that must not leave your mind. Because God painted it for you. He painted it for you. So that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. But if you look well, you will see the way of escape in that scripture also. Hallelujah. The problem is not the darkness. The problem is not that you are born in Africa and you are very poor. And you have challenges of this, challenges of that. That's not the problem. He says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Hallelujah. That's what I'm interested in. There was darkness. There is darkness. But that's not the end of the story. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God was there. Hallelujah. Amen. If it was just darkness and nothing else was there, then no hope for us. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So even with the darkness, God was in control. How many of us know that God is in control? You see darkness. You see darkness. Do you know that you know that you know that God is in control? It's good to say it now when you are sitting down, drinking coffee, drinking tea, everything is fine. Paul faced life and death. The ship was going to be capsized. It was gone. He says, I know the God I serve. He said, God whose I am, and whom I serve, has told me that there shall be no loss. There was darkness, but he was in control. So the gospel that we are preaching is from hell. You see that in the Bible. The Bible talks about the doctrines of devils. The prosperity doctrine is number one doctrine of devils. Hallelujah. Because it's not in your Bible. It's not in your Bible. Amen. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and they will be following you. You know, people preach money. Money is not prosperity. If you have 20,000 shillings, okay, they give you 20 million shillings, and you have diabetes that will cost you 50 million shillings. You have 20 million shillings. My God is a good God. And you have, your mother now has diabetes that will cost you 50 million shillings to heal her. But me, I have 1,000 shillings. I am well. My father is well. My mother is well. My children are well. Everybody around me is well. Who has more money? Who has more money? Hallelujah. Amen. So we are following cunningly devised fables. We have been deceived. And the deception is because we are poor in Africa. I know you don't want to agree. I know. No worry, no problem. But I know in your heart you agree. We are poor. Prosperity gospel is good for Africa. It's good for us. Amen. That's why church business, everybody's interested. Well, it's good that God is using it to get our attention. Because God will use anything. God is in the business of saving souls. So he will allow it to get your attention and get my attention. Now that we have gotten into God's kingdom, we have to go back and get the origin of the truth. So the scripture says that there was darkness over the face of the deep. So the question is, who is darkness? What is darkness? Hallelujah. Amen. Now if you can identify who and what is darkness, you will begin to understand your mission and your commission. The scripture says that how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost, and he went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil. See, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So his commission was very clear. Anywhere you find darkness, destroy it. Amen. Anywhere you find darkness, destroy it. Is that our commission? That was the mission statement for Jesus. Look for darkness. And destroy it. Amen. That is the commission of God. Now, if you understand that, then you know God is going to touch many things. Because the darkness is very deep. Now, let me just take you, show you something. In this Kenya, there were a group of people called the Mau Mau. Do you know them? Does anybody know Mau Mau here? Do you know them? Who are they? What did they do? Hallelujah. Amen. The darkness is very deep. And Jesus must destroy the darkness. So where is the darkness? What is darkness? Where do you find darkness? Okay, by 7 o'clock, okay, by 8 o'clock, there will be darkness. Is it not so? Then by midnight, it will be thick darkness. Is that the darkness Jesus came to destroy? Is that the darkness he came to destroy? Which darkness did he come for then? Okay, let's go back to that scripture again. Let's read. That Isaiah 16.
Isaiah 16, verse 2.
So behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And gross darkness the people. So this scripture has told us where the darkness is. Amen. This darkness is different from the physical darkness. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, there are two types of darkness in Genesis chapter 1. Is that true? That there are two types of darkness in Genesis chapter 1. For the understanding of our mind, we will call the first darkness spiritual darkness. Or you can call it people darkness. The darkness you find in the soul of man. On the fourth day of creation, God said, I will make great lights and put them in the heavens. And they shall divide into day and darkness. The greater light will rule the day. The lesser light will rule the night. So there is physical darkness and there is spiritual darkness. There is physical light and then there is spiritual light. Amen. So we are talking about darkness as the origin, as the principle that must be destroyed. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you go to Colossians, 1, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He says that he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen. So it's becoming more interesting. So this darkness is not a kingdom. Hallelujah. And light is also a kingdom. What do you find in a kingdom? You have the authority in the kingdom. And you have the different levels of authority in the kingdom. You have the law. There's a principle, a law that works in the kingdom. And then other things that function. So the darkness has a principle, has a power. Also in the kingdom of light. You also have the authorities. You have the law of life. One is life, one is death. Death is one of the princes of darkness. There are princes of darkness. There are spirits that walk with darkness. Hallelujah. Just like you also have the spirits that walk in the light. Hallelujah. Now we're talking about the foundations of the kingdom. Of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. But how did man begin to relate with darkness? When God made Adam, was there darkness in Adam? That's the question. When God made Adam, was there darkness? Now, who is Adam? Because if you don't know who Adam is, you won't be able to understand what we're talking about, light and darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. How did God make Adam? He took the earth and he took the spirit. So in Adam, there are two realms. Now when we talk about Adam, it's very far. In you, there are two realms. Now, it so happens that in the church, our mind is so low. We are so carnally minded. Now, it is difficult for us to appreciate that we are more than earth. And I usually tell people, do you know that you are living in the heavens? You know, when you think of Kenya, sometimes your mind is taken over by the natural environment where you are. Do you know that you have been rotating around the sun? Do you know that as you are here now, you are moving? You are moving in so many dimensions. You are not aware of it. If you ask this young man, he works on the ship. I have also gone there. If you get into a small boat, you will be shaking, isn't it also? If you get into some of the big, very big ships, you'll just be doing sometimes it's very, very soft, but you can feel yourself moving. If you get into the very big boat, ships, you will notice any movement. So you are deceived to think that you are not moving. That is what is happening to us. We belong to the heavens. Your neighbor is a star. The planets are your neighbors. One time, one brother was showing to me, said, "That is Jupiter, the planet Jupiter." He said, "Look at it, it's very bright." I almost fainted. So I can see Jupiter. And the other day, Brother Mark was telling me, oh, Jupiter and Venus, that you can see them in the star, in the sky. When you look at the one that's very bright, it's a planet. The one that the light is comes and goes, that is the star. When you come out, you see the heavens all around you. God is trying to tell us something. The gospel we are preaching has no relevance to the plan of God. What we are preaching is our belly. That's what Paul said in Philippians 3. So whose God is their belly? I said they are enemies of the cross. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
The gospel we're preaching has no relevance to the plan of God. We have derailed. It's not addressing the issue. When God made Adam, when God made you, He put heaven within you. He put the realm of heaven within you. That's the other thing you must get very clear in your mind. That heaven is in you. Otherwise, how would the scripture say the kingdom of God is coming within you? How can God come into you if there is no realm of heaven? Heaven is the realm where spirits live, isn't that so? How would the devil operate in you or in someone if heaven is not in that person? Hallelujah. So man is a house. Hallelujah. In him is a realm of heaven. So God took the earth, and he said he breathed into that earth. Hallelujah. But that's not the end of the story. There was a destination. God has something in mind. God has something unique in mind. Hallelujah. So you took the earth. So when you read in your Bible, it talks about earth. The earth you're looking at is talking about the physical ground. But you see, every word of God has a prophetic application. Because if it didn't have any prophetic application, then me and you cannot find ourselves in it. Because the scripture said that Jesus said that the prophet and the law, that they talk of me. You understand? Jesus said that the prophets, all the prophets and the law, all the scriptures talk of me, Jesus. And anywhere you see Jesus, you must see yourself. Anywhere you see the head, you must see the body. Amen. That is the principle of interpreting scripture.
Yeah.
Every scripture must have a relevance to Christ, and that is where you find your identity. You are also there. Amen. So he's talking about the physical earth, but there is also spiritual earth. Hallelujah. Amen. He's talking about the story of Israel, but Paul says there's also a spiritual Hebrew. He says he's not a Jew who is one outwardly. He's not a Jew who is one outwardly. He is a Jew who is one inwardly. So the word of God comes at three levels: the natural, historical level, the spiritual dimension of it, and then the final fulfillment of every scripture is in you, in your soul. Because you are the highest level of heaven. Amen. So we have seen two different realms. So there is the natural aspect of man, which has to do with this natural world. But that is not the full story of man. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Am I putting you to sleep? Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But that's not all the story. The Bible said there was a breath that came from God. God himself came down to man. Do you understand? The story of man is that God has come down. If you don't know anything, know it today. God has come to you. He has come to your address. Where do you live? God has come to that address. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, the kingdom of God is coming. He said, he showed me the lamp, and I saw holy Jerusalem. Isn't also coming down. Hallelujah. The direction of God's kingdom is downwards. It's not upwards. The movement is down. Hallelujah. He said, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on this earth as it is done in heaven. Heaven is coming down. Hallelujah. Okay, it's like it's too big. Sometimes it's too big for me. My head can't take it. But my heart can take it. Hallelujah. Amen. So remove your head. You say, eye has not seen. Or ear head. Or even the heart to see what God has planned for you. But it didn't stop there. The next verse said, but he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is revealing it. And the Spirit of God will bring it to your heart. Hallelujah. So we are talking about the revelation of the Spirit. Man is not just earth. You know, as a medical student or as a doctor, you go and you do autopsy. You see the human body, you do, and you do all the things you want to do. You don't see the mind. You don't see the emotions. You don't see the heart. But you know it is there. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, how is it then we are preaching the doctrine of earth? Our gospel is a gospel of earth. Hallelujah. What to eat? What to drink? The chapati to eat. The matoki to eat. Barely. Everything just has to do with the earth. That should tell you that there's a problem. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. We have stayed too long on this level. We have stayed too long on this natural carnal level. And God is saying, let's move up. Hallelujah. We need to move one more step. And when we do that, we will come into the spirit. And that is to realize that there is a spirit in man. Hallelujah. God breathed into man, and something happened. It has never happened anywhere in the universe. And that's why God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is nobody like you in all the universe. Even the angels are not like you. Do you understand? The angels are not like you. Why do you think the devil is wasting time with you? Why do you think the devil is interested in you? If you are not of any value. Hallelujah. If you are not of any value, why is the devil interested in something that has no value? You are of no value, why would the devil waste time with you? Hallelujah. Amen. It says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world? Isn't that what you said? You are the president of Kenya. You have all the money in Kenya. You rule the world. Your brother is Obama, isn't it so? It's true that Obama, where is Obama from? Is he here? Where is Obama from? Where is the Obama man? Please, let's see him. There, Obama brothers, raise your hand. Okay, next to you. Hallelujah. He's Obama brother. Amen. And you lose your soul. Hallelujah. Doesn't measure up anywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. So there must be something about the soul. And that is what the devil does not want you to know. He doesn't want you to talk about it. But that is the center, the core of the matter. The Bible says that we are not of them that draw back to perdition, but we are those who press on to the saving of the soul. That is the meat of it. The soul must be saved. Hallelujah. The soul must be saved. If you are not talking about the soul, if you are not doing anything about your soul, you have no value to God. I didn't say you will not preach or do all those things. You will do your church activity, your church will grow, bless God, you do crusade, the people will be saved, you will do Bible class, save them, do all those things you do. So it hasn't reached the mark. Paul says, I press it on to the mark, high calling, high mark of the gospel. There is a mark. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'm pressing to meet the mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. If we couldn't achieve it, God will not tell you. He's not a tyrant.
Yes.
God is not so wicked to tell you to do something you could not do. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a high calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that has to do with the soul. And where the breath of God and that earth met together, something came. I say, man became a living soul. So this soul had two natures. It had the nature of the earth, and it has the nature of the spirit. So the soul of man is like a bridge. It is a doorway also. If you want to get into the spirit, you go through man. If you are smart, you now know why the devil is interested in you. If you are smart, you will know why the devil wants you. Hallelujah. You are a doorway. You are a bridge. Hallelujah. The soul of man is a bridge between the heaven and the earth. It can decide which path it will live. It can decide to be carnal, or it can decide to be spiritually minded. The choice is yours. Hallelujah. And the people of God have to decide where we are going to go. But it says, to be carnally minded is death. If you choose to go carnal, hallelujah, it is death. But if you choose to go to with the spirit, it is life and peace. So Galatians says that there is a wrestling between the spirit and the flesh. That the flesh lost against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Amen. So that is the soul. So man has three natures. Just like God also has three natures. Hallelujah. So let's make him in our image and in our likeness. We have three natures. So this man we are making will also have three natures. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Just like I have a body, I have a spirit, and I am soul. Hallelujah. Man is not God. We are not created to be God, but we are created to be like God. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. God created you not to be God. I have no interest in being God. I cannot even be God. You can ask my wife. She will tell you that this man can never be God. Because she knows my problems. And this brother, all of them, they know my problems. They know that this brother, he can never be God. If there is anybody that can be God, this particular one is too bad, he cannot be God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm not trying to be God, but I can be like God. Amen. That is the nature he has given to me, to be like God. Do you know why? Because he has put his own nature in me. Hallelujah. Amen. And the nature he put in me is a nature of light. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. It's a nature of light. I want you to understand. It's a nature of that has a spiritual dimension. Hallelujah. If I ask every one of us here to bring our cell phones and to call either your wife or your husband or your friend or whoever, the wavelengths will not cross. They will not jam. Hallelujah. Because everybody has his own wavelength. Hallelujah. You believe in wavelength, but you don't believe in your soul. Hallelujah. Your soul is in a different realm of the spirit. And God made you to be so. The young people are not in church today. We have lost them. They are already gone. Where have they gone to? They've gone to something more exciting. That's what we had to have gone to, cell phone. This is exciting them. When something more exciting is in the church. Because we are telling them fairy tales. The gospel we are preaching is of no use to the root. Even to the old people, it's of no use. Because you're not addressing the need of the man.
Hallelujah.
As your physical body eats food, so your soul needs food. As your physical body needs energy to function, so your soul, your mind needs energy to function. And it is a game of power. Whoever has the greater power will dictate the tune. Hallelujah. Whoever has the greater power will dictate the tune. There is a village in Kenya where they have found oil. That is the end. That is the end for them. Whether they like it or not, it's over. Is that true? Hallelujah. It's over for them. Whether they like it or not, it's over. Because the world is coming there. Hallelujah. They have what the world needs. What do they have? Oil. They have energy. Okay, very good. Now apply it to yourself. You have what the devil needs. Hallelujah. You have what the devil needs. The devil needs access to energy. The devil needs life. He can't get it from God. Hallelujah. Where else can he get it from? The simple, humble Christians in Kenya. Who don't know who they are. Like that village where they found oil. From the day God created you and made you to be a soul and determined that you will be Christ, that you'll be part of Christ, and because you'll be part of Christ, you'll be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You'll be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means you are going to be part of the Godhead. You are going to be joint heir with Jesus Christ. He said, I have loved them with the same love that you love me. Glorify them with the same glory you glorified me. Glorify them with the same glory that you have glorified me. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to understand this is the meat of the matter. God made you to be part of Him, to rule in His throne, and that is the source of the quarrel between God and the devil. And that's how we got caught in the middle.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 1 said that He has chosen us from the foundation of the world to be in Christ, and that Christ will be the Son of God. Christ is the Son of God. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And Christ was made flesh. Do you understand? And Christ is not just the head, Jesus, but that it will have a body, including you from Kenya, me from Nigeria. Do you understand God's plan? Hallelujah. So, the day God made us and said that man will be part of the Godhead. And Colossians says that in Jesus dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you understand that English? That the fullness of God was in Jesus as an example of what will happen to the body of Christ, as to what will happen to anyone who will follow Christ also. Anyone who will be like Christ, the fullness of God will be in him. He said, if any man loves me, let him keep my commandments. So. This is John 14, 21, 23. Is it not so? He says, I and my Father will do what? We will come and make our dwelling, our house, permanent house, forever. Not 1 million years. Not 2 million years. In God, there is no time. Do you understand? I'm sure you don't understand it. I know you don't understand. Even me, I don't understand too.
Hallelujah.
In God, there's no time. Time began when God said, I will make man. When man comes forth, time will cease.
Hallelujah.
From generation to the last, wherever that generation is, hallelujah. That's God's plan for you.
Hallelujah.
So you and I were not innocent. The devil is interested. Because he said, I will also be like God. He says, I will be like God. I will rise up above the stars of God. I will rule over Zion. And I will sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself as God. Do you understand? So the devil is interested in your soul. Because he's interested in something. Hallelujah. He wants life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is why there is deception in the church. for you to be involved in church business, which we enjoy, isn't it so? When you preach, you feel very good. I won't tell you the last time I will feel very good. I have preached. I'm a man of God. Hallelujah. That message was very good. Oh, somebody was knocking his head. He liked the message. We all enjoyed, isn't it so? This is more than enjoying message. We need to know the mind of God. This soul must be saved. So when God made Adam, he made him a little lower than the angels. Do you understand? You are of a lower frequency than the devil. But the Bible said that he did it temporarily. For a purpose. Hallelujah. Because his plan is to destroy darkness. So he made man to be a little lower than the angels. Meaning that man naturally could not on his own overcome those angels. And of course you know there was a rebellion among the angels. They rebel against God. And the Bible said that they cast them down to the earth. To your own frequency. So the devil is operating in a realm of heaven lower than the highest level of heaven, isn't it so? The Bible calls that the third heavens. You have the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So it's the nature of God. You have three dimensions of heaven. The first heaven is this one that we are seeing Jupiter and all those things. That's the first level. There is another heaven. And that's where the devil is operating. And the Bible says he is the prince of the power of the air. This heaven is in the soul of man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now it's a place where there is a lot of warfare. Revelation 12 said there was war in heaven. Hallelujah. The way the message is going, I'm thinking that maybe we'll take a break and come back so that we can talk about it. But there is a second heaven and there is a third heaven. The third heaven is settled. The issue of the third heaven is settled. There's no rebellion there. It's the throne of God. Hallelujah. It's where God is dwelling. But that heaven wants to come down to the second heaven. Do you understand? So that's why I said the kingdom of God is coming down. So God has to reduce himself to be able to come to you. Amen. Amen. Okay, we will have time for questions if it's not clear. We will have time for questions. So there are three levels of heaven. I take it again. The physical heaven. And then the other two dimensions of heaven. The third heaven is not in you. Because if it is in you, there won't be any darkness in you. Do you understand? Amen.
Amen.
That is the heaven that is coming down. Hallelujah. So God wants to make you a part of his third heaven. Hallelujah. So it says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In this heaven, as it is done in that other perfect heaven. Hallelujah. So that English means that there is something wrong with our heaven. Hallelujah. So how did this problem begin? Our Bible tells us, you know, so because this man Adam was in Eden, in the garden of God. And the Bible says that he was tempted and he fell. He ate of a tree called good and evil. Please, my people, tell me, what does good and evil mean? A little good and a little evil. What does it mean? God says, eat the tree of life. The Bible says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So God gave him light and darkness. Which one did he choose? What did Adam choose? Say, I don't want darkness. I want a little darkness and a little light. That is very good for me. Amen.
Amen.
But what did he receive? Darkness. Amen. That is the story of you and me. Our joy and our pain began in this world. What is the story of your life? Sometimes you are happy, sometimes you are sad. Light and darkness.
Amen.
Everything in this world is light and darkness. He will give you 1,000 shillings now. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
When you don't have it, oh, you are very sad. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Light and darkness.
It
began from Adam. So darkness entered into man. Darkness entered into man. So the soul of man became a heaven of darkness. Hallelujah. That's how darkness entered into man. Hallelujah. But God has a plan. What do you think is the plan?
Hallelujah.
Who will deal with the problem you have? Because you have a problem. I have a problem. My problem is that there is darkness in me. Hallelujah. And with this darkness, I'm a creature contrast. I'm the mixture in me. I want God. I also want darkness. Is anybody here who wants darkness? Okay, you don't like darkness. You don't love darkness. Alright, we'll find out. Amen. God will find out with you. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, say something. 3:18. See that? Because men loved darkness. That our deeds are evil. Man loves darkness. And because of it, we will go towards darkness and not towards God. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you want to do? Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I don't feel like praying. Is anybody like that? Please, can I see you? Okay, all these are holy brothers. The first thing they want to pray. Please, those who are in that class, can I see your hand? When you wake up, you don't want to pray. In this church, you are tired. You don't even want to do anything. You are tired. If you are, please, can I see your hand? God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Let us deceive ourselves. Man loves darkness. When you are angry, do you feel happy? I am happy when I'm angry sometimes. I like the anger. I showed him today. I told him that I am superior to him. Hallelujah. I told him off. What is that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Man has a problem. It's a nature in his soul. So God had to design salvation. And you had the old kingdom, old covenant, and the new covenant. And the old covenant, from beginning, was doomed to fail. Because he couldn't go inside. Hallelujah. He couldn't go inside. He couldn't address the heart. He couldn't address this darkness within my soul. Hallelujah. God says, I will take it away. And in that kingdom, of course, in that covenant, we know what happens. That the natural temple. The physical temple, the physical covenant, everything was external. But let's know where the problem was. The problem of man is inside, in his soul. So God says, I will make a new covenant. I will write my law in the inward part. The soul must be saved. The soul must be delivered. The soul needs life to address the problems within the soul. When a man is born, when a child is born, that little child you are looking at has a problem in the soul. All the cuckoo spirits are inside. All the lower spirits are there. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, that's where church starts. All the Kikuyu spirits from beginning are inside. Hallelujah. If your mother was Kikuyu, your father was lower. If your father is Kikuyu and your mother is low, it means that all the two of them will meet together. Hallelujah! That is church. That is the root of the issue. And when that child is growing up, the child is also adding more spirits. He starts smoking cigarettes. Starts smoking India hemp. He starts living unclean life. More spirits are coming in. So he has two types of spirit. The one he got from the father and mother, and the one he has got through his experiences. All of them are living in his realm of the soul. Hallelujah. So when the man comes to you and say, I want to be born again, if you don't address what is in the soul, you are wasting time. Say after me. You tell the man, say after me. Raise your right hand. Jesus, I come to you. I want to be born again. I want to love you. Save me, O Lord. Deliver me, O Lord. In Jesus' name. I am now born again. You are now a child of God. Clap for him. After 3 weeks, you make him the head of the ushers. After 1 month, you make him music director. After 9 months, you make him a deacon. After 2 years, he becomes an elder. Then he goes to Bible school. After 3 months, he becomes a reverend. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Have you addressed the problem? Have you addressed the problem? Hallelujah. We must go back to the drawing board. We must repent. We must tell God we are sorry. Not with our lips, but with our hearts. Okay. Yes, they have sacked me. They said my time is up. Amen. Hallelujah. Man has a problem. And the problem is in his soul. The soul is a captive of darkness. I take it again. The soul is a captive of darkness. Dark spirits have taken over the soul. The princes of darkness have taken over the soul. Hallelujah. And that soul must be saved. Our soul must be saved. And the whole purpose of the gospel, the whole message of the gospel, is that Jesus came to save our soul. Jesus says, "Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not leave my soul in hell." Hallelujah. Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Or suffer thy holy one to see corruption. When Adam died, when Adam sinned against God, his spirit fell into darkness. His soul fell into darkness. His body began to decay. Amen.
Amen.
The good news of the gospel is that the soul must be saved again. Must be taken from darkness into light. His spirit must be connected back to God. And the decay in his body will be stopped. In fact, the body will be changed. Hallelujah. That is the good news of the gospel. And what we have done is just to introduce this topic. And if God wants it to be so, we will go on later. In another time, I don't know when. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Stay on.